Okay, welcome once again to another Throttle Up Radio Show and Podcast, and I'm your host, Captain Kevin Smith, and I am glad to be here. Had a short break. We had some things going on, and so we're back now on our regular schedule of radio shows and podcasts. And what else should I say? I'm talking to my audio engineer. Should I mention where you can find this podcast? Okay, so the radio show is on Red State Talk Radio, of course. It is a weekend show on Saturdays and Sundays, and you can check the station for the exact time on both channels and both Saturdays and Sundays. And, of course, we have it available as a podcast, and it's available now on almost all of the podcast platforms that you can think of, including, but not limited to, well, I guess we should mention my website, right? Yeah, we have a website, throttleupradio.com. It has all of the podcasts there and some other stuff. And the other, a few of the podcast platforms that we're aware of, and there's a lot of them, but the one that I'm using at the current time is the CastBox. That's the one that I'm using. I'm not so much endorsing that. I mean, there's a lot of great podcast platforms out there, as it turns out. What is it? Podbean is the other one, and iTunes is the other one, and Apple Play is the other one. Does Dustin use Apple Play? I think he does, doesn't he? Yeah, okay. Dustin is part of the team here that we have to do all this stuff. So it's a team effort, and I'm with my audio engineer, of course, every week, and she does such a great job of getting this thing up and running and all the other technical and background details that go into this regular radio show and podcast. And so we're glad to have her. We're going to start this off with we have a video clip to play, right? So we're going to do that. The first thing we're going to do is to have my audio engineer pose a question to me as we begin this show. Now, this is a special edition, Think Like a Fighter Pilot. All right, that's the whole idea behind it. It's kind of been around a long time, but this is a long-running special edition, isn't it? We do a lot of stuff. Why is that? Well, you know, it's pretty obvious why we're doing this, because of the phenomenal interest in the Top Gun Maverick movie. We also have a new book out that relates to it as well, by the way. The book came out before the movie, and so you can't say that we are adopting things from the movie. It's kind of like the other way around. Our book is called The Sonic Warrior, Chronicles of a Top Gun Pioneer. I am a Navy fighter pilot, retired Navy captain, and a Top Gun pioneer. I was on the ground floor of this whole Top Gun initiative, and I have some rather interesting insights and stories. I guess you would say I have a lot of stories about what it means to be a Navy fighter pilot. Is that correct? I'm asking my audio engineer. Yes, I have a lot of stories, right? And we're going to have a story this week, too, aren't we? Yeah, we're going to have a story as well. Lots of stories. Some of them are in my book, The Sonic Warrior, Chronicles of a Top Gun Pioneer. Find that anywhere, by the way, all over the place. Also, the major retailers are selling it now. The major, like Walmart and Target and other places, you know. You can go to the big bookstores, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million. Most of the mom-and-pop bookstores either have it on their shelves or can order it for you. All right? So it's distributed by Ingram, published by Redemption Press, great folks out of Washington State. We really enjoy working with Redemption Press. I guess I should plug their organization more often, and we have that as well. Okay, so we're going to listen to my audio engineer is going to start the show off by asking a question. This is kind of an important question and a very, very important aspect, not only of my book, The Sonic Warrior, but also the Top Gun Maverick movie. This might be at least one of the centerpieces of the movie and centerpieces of my book. Coincidentally, they both address themselves to the same thing. And this is really a fascinating chapter in aviation history, also a fascinating chapter in human history. Maybe people don't recognize that as much as they should, but this is a human endeavor that has never been encountered, never been addressed by humans ever until very, very recently, until we were able to achieve supersonic flight on a routine basis. On a regular basis, we were able to achieve supersonic flight, but it hasn't been too long ago that we have we achieved that that milestone in human innovation and creativity. All right, so let's go ahead and start off with this question from my audio engineer.
Good morning, Kevin, and hello to your listening audience. Okay, the question I have for you today: in the Top Gun Maverick movie, in the scene "Good Morning, Aviators," Maverick mentions guns only. Can you explain to the audience why he said this and how this relates to your book, The Sonic Warrior, and the episode "The Perch"?
Okay, great question. I'm going to answer that using a couple of things. The first thing I'm going to do is we're going to play a audio clip slash video clip of "Good Morning, Aviators." You can find it on YouTube, right? So this is how long is that? About 4 minutes. So we're going to play this 4 minute audio clip as my attempt to answer this question, and then I have some stuff that we're going to that I'm going to discuss that is in my book, The Sonic Warrior, and then we're going to examine that. This is one of the most fascinating chapters in aviation history. This is one of the most fascinating aspects of not only aviation history, but in human history and human thought and innovation and creativity. And I know that some of you out there think that I've lost my marbles, but bear with me. I'm not making this up, and I'm not diminishing its significance in terms of, well, in the course of human events, this was a major, major thing that has occurred, had occurred, and how we address ourselves to this challenge. It was an enormous challenge that we were faced with. I was on the ground floor of this initiative to address this enormous challenge, which is related to guns only, quote unquote, related to that. This is a big deal. All right, so let's go ahead and play this clip. I think it's 4 minutes. This is one of the early scenes in the Top Gun Maverick movie. Here goes.
Good morning, aviators. This is your captain speaking. Welcome to basic fighter maneuvers.
As briefed, today's exercise is dogfighting. Guns only, no missiles. We do not go below the hard deck of 5,000 feet. Working as a team, you have to shoot me down or else.
Or else what, sir?
Or else I shoot back.
I shoot either one of you down, you both lose.
This guy needs an ego check.
We'll see to that.
So what's up, you put some skin in the game?
What do you have in mind?
Whoever gets shot down first has to do 200 push-ups.
Guys, that's a lot of push-ups.
Well, they don't call it an exercise for nothing, sir.
You got yourself a deal, gentlemen. Lights on. Let's turn and burn. Fanboy, you see him?
Nothing on the radar up ahead. He must be somewhere behind us.
We don't get fooled again. Easy, Maverick.
fired on the first day.
Tally, tally, tally! Maverick's coming in! Right back! Bring it left!
Hey, man, where's your wingman?
Rooster, where are you?
I got you, Doc. I'm coming.
Hang in there, hang in there.
Hurry up, man, hurry up!
Hey, that brake light! Break it right!
Rooster just saved your life, fellas. But it's gonna cost him.
Not this time, old man!
Don't let him get you, Maverick.
Rooster, you're too low! Pull up, you're hitting the hard deck!
Altitude.
Oh, shit!
That's a kill.
Should be us down there.
But it's not. And now you know a little something about Rooster.
Whoa! Hey, hold that tarmac down till we get back, brother, all right? Hey, get it, get up, boy.
That's a kill.
Smoked.
Damn it.
It was all fun and games that selfie, wasn't it?
Damn!
Say, Phoenix.
Now, how's about we tell everybody Bob stands for something other than Robert? I mean.
Don't take the bait, Bob. Want to know why we call him Hangman?
Oh, wait, I got it. Baby on board.
Shit!
Greetings, aviators. Fight time.
All right, Phoenix, let's take this guy out.
Watch your back, Phoenix.
Break right!
Break it right!
Where's he going?
That's why we call him Hangman. He'll always hang you out to dry.
Leaving your wingman. Here's a strategy I haven't seen in a while.
He called you a man, Phoenix. You gonna take that?
So long as he doesn't call you a man.
Talk to me, Bob. Where's Maverick?
Jesus, his nose is already coming around.
Get off me, Hangman.
For all you folks at home,
this is how you bury a fossil.
All right, Hangman. Time to teach you a lesson.
You're out, Phoenix.
Son of a bitch.
Let's go, Mav. Let's see what you got.
Come get me.
He will be gone. Hangman's coming.
Yeah, you're good. I'll give you that.
Shit. Phoenix, I can't see him. How close am I? Phoenix.
I'm dead, dickhead.
See you in the afterlife, Bagman.
Where is he? That's a kill.
79, down, 80, down.
Let's go. Who's next? I got you, Omaha.
Damn it.
Lights out, Coyote.
Copy kill.
Okay, now what I want you to do is pay attention to the audio. Stuff here in terms of what is being said, what is being announced. This is pretty critical. Pay attention to the audio. Maverick said, guns only, no missiles. What exactly is going on? And what is the purpose here? What is the mission? What is the combat training exercise? And that's vital to understand, maybe at a deeper level, that what is going on in terms of aerial combat, what is going on in terms of this initiative, what is going on in terms of high velocity aerial combat, in which close in aerial combat is in fact the primary mission. And the weapons are guns. Now, that is what we're doing here. I was explaining something that is a little bit hard to get because things are going very, very fast in this segment of the Top Gun Maverick movie. The beauty of also reading my book, The Sonic Warrior, is that we can slow it down to a little bit of a slower speed. We spent some quality time on some of the key issues that we are talking about. And the other way I like to say it is this. What are the critical operational concerns? All right. And so what are they? What are the critical operational concerns? You can ask yourself this in any endeavor. It doesn't matter. It does not have to be aerial combat. You can ask yourself this question. In fact, I would highly recommend that you do so, particularly those who are managers or supervisors or leaders in various forms or fashions, or aspiring to be a leader. What are the critical operational concerns that I have to address myself to and that my people need to address themselves to? Maverick, Pete Mitchell in the movie Top Gun Maverick also mentioned work as a team. You notice that? He was aghast when somebody left his or her wingman. This is all part of the big picture perspective of what we're trying to get at. Okay, what is going on? What did he mean by guns only? Okay, so let me relate this to a episode in my book. Now, remember that my book is arranged, my book, when I say that, okay, it's The Sonic Warrior, Chronicles of a Top Gun Pioneer. It's a different book. It's arranged in storyboard form, all right, which basically means that the stories are set up as semi-standalone devices, and so we don't call them chapters, we call them episodes. So we have an episode in my book. It happens to be episode number 2. And the title of this episode in my book is called The Perch. The Perch episode is all about aerial combat, guns only. Close-in aerial combat is highly dynamic. It is something that is almost incomprehensible when you try to follow what's going on in the movie during this section of the movie. It becomes almost impossible to figure out what is going on because we're talking about highly maneuverable, high dynamics, a lot of complexity and uncertainty. We can say that this is an environment in which complexity and uncertainty prevail, and it does so in spades. It does so in so profoundly real that it is almost, well, we can say, I can say this, this is something that is maybe not well understood, but if you find yourself in this kind of environment, if not the exact environment, and you're using conventional thinking, things will quickly become incomprehensible. Let me say that again. If you're using conventional thinking and conventional reasoning, things will quickly become incomprehensible. Okay, there's so many things going on, so many key aspects of this environment, highly dynamic. The airplanes are maneuvering in all four dimensions. What does that mean? I talk about this in my book as well. Remember, this is a four-dimensional problem space. It's not two dimensions. It's not three dimensions. It's a four-dimensional problem space, which represents one of the most complex environments known to humans. What is that true? Yeah, that's actually true. It's one of the most complex environments known to humans, and so we have to figure out certain things about this. It's also helpful to look at this as a, you know, as a teachable opportunity. We can learn something. What? We can learn something about critical thinking and higher order reasoning. We can learn something about human thought. We can learn something about human consciousness. We can learn something about humans. How can humans solve problems under increased time compression? In the movie Top Gun Maverick, he mentions a number of times don't think, do. But he's not actually saying don't think. What he actually means, and what we as fighter pilots understand about this environment and what has to be done once we get ourselves into this environment, is we have to rely on other aspects of human consciousness that go by the terms, and some of these terms are not exactly correct, but they're close enough. Our terminology about higher order reasoning is very, very poorly developed, and so it behooves us, and of course I've been working on this for a long time to clarify what actually this means. Intuition is a major part of how we solve problems in this environment. Intuition, actually. Yes, intuition. Now, what does that mean? Again, it's an imperfect term. It doesn't actually cover the whole thing, but it begins to address the key aspects of human consciousness that are brought to bear in order to actually operate effectively in this environment, to survive, to avoid, you know, sudden death, achieve. Primarily, it's achieve mission success. We want to be successful here. We want to be successful in this world, in this environment, and so there's a lot of things that we have to do, bring to bear. There's a whole bunch of stuff that we have to actually throw out. Okay, we have been taught to think in a way that does not lend itself to this kind of highly dynamic environment. It just simply doesn't. I'm not exactly sure why that is. I do know that it's true, because once you get into this environment, you actually have to change the way you think. All right, that's the bottom line. You actually have to change the way you think. There's two things about this environment that is important right up front. Number one, you have to go into this environment with a restructured consciousness. And number two, you have to understand what is the best setup, all right? How do I enter this battle space in a way that will lead to mission success? Do I have the proper setup? Have I entered this battle space in an advantageous position? Okay. Advantageous position is everything. To achieve and maintain the advantage is, in fact, the key to success here. It has to be done. You have to know what that means, and you have to know what it looks like. What does it look like to actually go into this battle space and achieve and maintain the advantage? Okay. Once we achieve and maintain the advantage, the particular set of maneuvers, tactical maneuvers, are pretty well laid out. But what is not laid out is the initial entry point into this battle space, and that is determined by our ability to think innovatively and creatively. Hopefully I've said that right. And intuition is brought to bear, and we have to take a look at the situation in real time, and we have to be able to project it into the future. Another way of saying that, and this is kind of like my favorite way of saying it, is we have to take a set of current events. We have to, I'm sorry, I actually said that a little bit wrong. We have to be able to determine a future situation from a set of current events. All right, let me say that again. We have to be able to determine a future situation from a set of current events. All right, that's key. Once we enter the battle space, the first thing we have to do is to get ourselves established in the proper setup, which means that we have to achieve or work to achieve an advantageous position. And then we have to go from there to figure out how we're actually going to achieve mission success, how we are going to succeed in conflict, how we are going to win the battle. That's part of this whole process. First and foremost, we have to know how to achieve and maintain the advantage. Episode number 2, The Perch, in my book, The Sonic Warrior Chronicles of a Top Gun Pioneer, starts out as follows. Well, it actually starts out by quoting from pilot officer John McGee, Royal Canadian Air Force, the author of High Flight. And this quote is part of his poem, the most famous aviation poem ever written, by the way. Quote, "And I have done 100 things you have never dreamed of." Okay, we're going to start off episode number 2, The Perch. Well, I found myself on the perch. This was one of the many positions that I was going to achieve. It was a starting position pretty high up. It was up there in the rarefied part of the atmosphere at 35,000 feet. I was in this rather impressive aircraft. This was the sleek, fairly modern airplane that was capable of supersonic flight. The first one, actually. How did I get here? From a big picture perspective, I got here primarily because of the experience that we had gained during the latter stages of World War II. During that time, we developed and introduced the P-51 Mustang. Now, originally, the P-51 Mustang was a bit underpowered, but fortunately, there were some people that came forward with a better idea that the airplane could actually perform much better if it had a more powerful engine. The engine was already in existence. It didn't have to be developed, so that was good news. The engine actually was a Rolls-Royce Merlin engine, and it was being used in the Supermarine Spitfire as well as the Lancaster Bomber. Now, what made this engine rather impressive was it was one of the first engines that was a V12 piston engine, and it was capable of high altitude not only high altitude flight, but capable of performing well at higher altitudes. Okay. Fast forward to supersonic flight. Once we had the P-51 well established, it became pretty clear to the military aviation community that we were on the tip of something really big, which is velocity. Okay, we were pursuing velocity, or the other way of saying that is we were pursuing the need for speed. In the first Top Gun movie, if you remember, there was this scene of Maverick and his weapon system operator walking out to the airplanes, and they were mentioning the fact that they were experiencing the need for speed. All right, so What does that actually mean? That's not just a cute little little scene in the Top Gun 1 movie, right? That's a term that is profoundly important. Speed. Okay. The need for speed led to supersonic flight, led to high velocity aerial combat, and it also led to close in high velocity aerial combat, in which the weapon system that is best suited for that particular engagement and that particular air combat situation is guns. What does that mean? It means guns, basically. Technically, these were not guns. They were actually cannons because they had a big bore or a larger bore. Now, initially, the P-51 had 50 caliber machine guns. It was equipped with 50 caliber machine guns. It didn't have any missiles that had guns. Those quickly went, evolved into 20 millimeter cannons. Okay. And these, and then the 20 millimeter cannon evolved into a Gatling gun, 20 millimeter Gatling gun type of gun technology, if you will, or projectile system, however you want to word it. Okay, why guns? Well, first of all, that's the best. There's really nothing better for close-in aerial combat than the gun platform, than the guns. It just isn't. All right, we learned our lesson with the F-4. The F-4 was built without guns. We learned our lesson quickly, and quickly start putting guns back into the fighter aircraft. The F-14 had guns. FA-18 has guns, and so forth and so on. I think most of the Air Force fighter airplanes had guns as well. The airplane that I flew, I flew two fighter aircraft that was in fact equipped with guns. The F-11 Tiger and the FA Crusader. They were both supersonic airplanes, and they both had guns. Okay, so why guns? Guns are the most effective for close-in aerial combat, where you are close and you're in a high maneuvering space, and it is it's most effective in lots of ways. There's some serious tactical limitations to missiles when you're dealing with close-in aerial combat. Missiles are not very good, as it turns out. There's a lot of technological reasons for that, a lot of dynamical reasons for it. Missile has to launch, it has to guide. There has to be a firing envelope that is fairly restricted, where the firing envelope with utilizing guns is much broader or much bigger than it is with missiles, and there are all kinds of other things, right? So, guns only, what does that mean? It means that we are now into close-in aerial combat. And I might add that the better way of saying that is that we are into high-velocity close-in aerial combat. Now, this also means high-G maneuvering, very, very highly maneuvering system, and an environment, and what exactly is going on. Okay. Now, before we get into this battle space, right, there's an important, I guess you could say that there is an important training exercise that has to be performed, that has to be performed successfully, that has to be completed, and you have to be signed off on this important training exercise. Now, the name of this exercise, it actually goes by a number of names, okay? In my book, the episode two is called The Perch. All right, what is this? This is a live fire, mission realistic, training exercise utilizing the actual weapon system and its high velocity, which basically means that during a portion of this live fire mission realistic training exercise, I could also say combat training exercise, the aircraft is going supersonically. Okay. So at the perch, this is the setup, right? So you are set up, and there is an airborne target that is in this, that's part of this mission realistic training exercise. This is an airborne target that is at about 20,000 feet. Okay, it's a towed target. It's being towed by another airplane that we call a tractor. Okay, and it's on a long cable, and so the airborne target kind of looks like a big billboard, actually. All right, and you kind of have seen these, I think, in some form or fashion. When you go to the beach, you might see some airplanes pulling a banner behind them that is designed to advertise something. All right, it looks something like that. All right, it actually looks like a gigantic billboard, and it's being towed by another airplane. In this case, we call it a tractor. The speed of this is, I mean, it's not very high, but it's a moderate speed that is being achieved by this tractor target combination. And that's the objective, right? So, and it's about 20,000 feet. Now, the perch is at 35,000 feet. So we are on the perch, and we're just at a moderate speed. And at some point in the maneuver, it's time to come in and attack the target. Okay, so at some point, and this has a lot to do with the position and all kinds of things, and other aircraft in the area and what have you, but once you are cleared to come in, cleared for firing, cleared to exercise a firing pass at this simulated airborne target. It's an actual airborne target, but it's simulating an enemy aircraft, right? Once you're cleared in, then you go into afterburner, and you perform what we call the high reversal, right? So, the high reversal is where you're reversing your flight path or your trajectory, right? So, you're actually diving down, you're turning and diving down on the target. So you're coming off from a high position, and you're turning. Often this is a left turn because the way it's set up is you're set up to the left of the target, and you're turning and descending in afterburner, and at some point, and this happens fairly quickly, at some point the airplane is actually going to go supersonically. Okay, so you're turning, and you're in afterburner, And at some point in time, you're going to perform what we call the low reversal, right? So again, you're going to turn more toward the target. And the low reversal is where you are attempting to achieve a tracking solution. Okay. The most important thing about guns only is you have to be able to achieve a tracking solution. So this is a very narrow cone that extends out from the enemy airplane, or in this case, what is being simulated in this particular live fire training exercise is a simulation of the enemy airplane, but it's actually airborne, okay? And it's moving rather fast through time and space. And so this rather narrow cone is what you want to get into, inside this cone, and you have to be able to achieve a tracking solution. Now, another term here is a little bit hard to understand, but it's called lead pursuit. All right, so the way you're doing this is that you are pulling G's and you are aiming, your aim point is, in fact, not on the target. Your aim point is in front of the target, because once you fire your guns, the trajectory of the bullet will be parabolic. It will not be linear. It will be parabolic. And so this is called a lead pursuit tracking solution. So once, and there are actually some systems in the airplane that help you do that. There is a there's a radar system that is able to help you determine what is the proper aim point, okay, and it, so there is some help with systems on board and the head-up display. You noticed in, if you're careful, you notice in the Top Gun Maverick movie that there is displayed along with other things. There is a head-up display that shows up on the screen. You can see that. You can see that there's some symbology there on the head-up display. There's also some different color coding. There's a green and a orange colors that come up for various reasons. The green, orange, and red actually are three of the color schemes that are used. They each depict certain kinds of things that are actually dynamically going on. Okay, so you are working to achieve a firing solution. Okay, you don't fire without just blindly fire. You have to get in a proper position dynamically, and you have to achieve a firing solution before you actually fire. Now, once you do achieve a firing solution, at this point in time, when I did this maneuver in the F-11 Tiger, at this point in time, the airplane is actually going supersonically. All right, so now you are in supersonic flight. And that's a very tricky maneuver because the airplane is passing through the sound barrier. And that requires certain considerations and certain adjustments. And all this is occurring within microseconds, not even seconds. All this is occurring within microseconds. And you better have a pretty good intuitive feel of what is, in fact, going to be the future situation from a set of current events. So you have to be able to project in the future. You actually have to do that, right? You have to do this mental projection, right? You have to project into the future. And that's something that is, well, it's not, you know, it's not very well understood. There's, I guess you could say there's some people that do it well. It can be taught. We can learn how to do it. I don't think it comes naturally necessarily more than you can train yourself, you can train your mind to be able to do this. It takes actually quite a long time to do it, but you can train your mind to actually perceive the future. What we call future projection. Okay, you can actually train your mind to do it. And does your mind do it? Yeah, it actually does. It does really well. You'd be surprised what your brain can do. It becomes very, very accurate. And once you have that confidence level, and it's kind of like an on-off switch. Once you achieve that level of confidence, then something clicks in your brain. There's a switch that is then turned to the on position in your consciousness, and you realize that this, you know, this mental capability has been available for a very long period of time within your consciousness, but you never knew where the switch was to turn it on. And this is what we, as fighter pilots, we had to learn where the switch was, and we had to be able to turn it on at some point in time in our trajectory of training. At some point in time, it has to, you know, it's kind of like the eureka moment, you know, the light bulb comes on, and so the switch comes on, and you realize that, yes, I can in fact project into the future, and I can do it very, very accurately. Now, the other thing about guns only is that not only a firing position, but the guns are, and this is, I always thought that this was one of the most remarkable aspects of this particular combat engagement, which was that every fourth bullet that you had in your arsenal on board the airplane, every fourth bullet was a tracer bullet. Okay, so when you pull the trigger and the guns were being activated, you could actually see the bullets in flight. Okay, this is probably the most underrated and most effective aspect of a guns-only engagement, is the fact that you had tracer bullets as part of your arsenal. Okay, I found this to be fascinating. It's also, I found that to be, that's how you fine-tune your maneuver. That's how you can achieve and maintain the optimum tracking solution, which is utilizing this is pure visual, okay. This is pure line of sight. This is visual. It has nothing to do with the with the radar systems or the other systems that you have on board the airplane. This is a direct connection between human and machine. We would also call it man-machine in my time. Okay, this is a direct connection. It is so remarkable and so incredibly effective. I found that the tracers were like, wow, this is such a great aspect of the guns only engagement, is that the guns are equipped with tracer bullets, and they can help you fine tune your positioning, fine tune your maneuvers, and to achieve I can say it this way, reliably achieve a optimum tracking solution on the enemy target. Okay. Now, in order to do that when you're traveling above the speed of sound, in other words, in order to do that when you are traveling supersonically, which is what I was doing here, in order to do that, you had to make certain, well, another way of saying that, maybe a better way of saying that, is you had to be able to anticipate what the airplane was going to do from a performance or a behavioral standpoint when it was supersonic and when it went from supersonic back down to subsonic. Now, remember, in this maneuver, when you have achieved a tracking solution, you are not at 1G. You are at 4Gs. Okay, so your speed is supersonic. You are pulling 4Gs. You have positioned your aircraft and positioned your trajectory so that it is leading the target, and the airplane at some point in time will decelerate because you are pulling 4Gs. It will decelerate from supersonic flight to subsonic flight. Now, this is extremely important and profoundly difficult to figure out, but it can be done. And I'm living proof that it can be done. Okay, it can be done to the point where I was actually able to achieve not only a viable tracking solution, but I was actually able to record bullets on the target. In the maneuver that I'm explaining here in my book, The Sonic Warrior, in episode number 2, which is called The Perch, all right, I actually not only achieved a viable tracking solution, but I got hits on the target while traveling supersonically, which is a rather tricky thing to do, but it can be. All right, another Throttle Up Radio Show and Podcast. Thank you for listening, and we will see you all next week.